Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show here on KRFY for Tuesday, August 8th. And we have a great show in store for you today, an update on all things trails. First, we're going to get to the weather, because that's what is always on everyone's mind, and it's going to be hazy. If you look outside the window, you can see that, and a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, 20%, a high of 82 degrees. Tonight, a low of 53, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, again, a chance of showers at about 20% with highs in the 80s, overnight lows in the 50s, and that continues on through Thursday, clearing sometime on Thursday night. Friday looks sunny. We won't even predict the weekend. It's too far away. Welcome to the morning show. I'm your host, Phil Huff. With us today, we have our trails update, Tom Dabrowski from the Idaho Trails Association, Jason Walker from Pondere Peddlers, and Rose Olson from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Good morning, all.
Morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
Yeah. So I think by flip of the coin toss, we decided Tom will start first, mainly because he's to my right. And no stranger to the show, but we always have new listeners. So let's start with a little bit of introduction of each of you and who you are, what a little bit about your background and what you're doing for your organization. Tom, why don't you go first?
Okay, thanks, Phil. I'm Tom Dabrowski with the Idaho Trails Association. We're a statewide organization that keeps hiking trails open for all. That's our mission. And we do that all over the state of Idaho. In fact, I just got back from a hitch in the Frank Church Wilderness in central Idaho. And we were formed, this is now our 13th year, and formed in 2010. And we started with a few members, and I think now we're at 833 members. And this year we'll have about 75 to 80 projects all over the state to work on hiking trails. And the reason that we focus on existing hiking trails is we're so fortunate here in Idaho, we have 10,000 miles of non-motorized hiking trails, and not all of them get maintained very often. In fact, we just worked on some trails that hadn't been done probably in 30 years. And so that's what we're all about. Mm-hmm. Lots of opportunity for people to come out and help their hiking trails.
And you're a longtime hiker? That's your interest and point of involvement?
Yes. In fact, I'm a long time everything. I'm kind of an old guy. Started at a really young age. In fact, I was telling somebody while I was working in the Frank in 94 degree heat on sawing out a trail that I'm 78 years old, and I've now been doing this for 66 years. So it's been a huge amount of fun.
So you could have gotten to this trail 30 years ago easily. what gives?
Yeah, right. Well, back 30 years ago, I was walking rather than flying in.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back to some more details, but let's continue on with introductions. Jason, again, no stranger to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Pondere Peddlers.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Good to be back on the show. I am the executive director of Pondere Peddlers, the local cycling club and trails organization here in Sandpoint. And as I hear Tom describe the work of ITA, I realized, you know, Pondere Peddlers are more the front country trails, whereas ITA is more of an organization that focuses on those backcountry trails. We were joking before the show started that a trail work party with ITA usually involves a bush plane and six days of backcountry adventure, whereas a trail work party with Pondere Peddlers usually involves, you know, meeting alongside a local trailhead and working for 2-3 hours and then enjoying some beers at the end of the party. But we do trail work parties about once a week throughout the season. We've taken most of the month of July off due to the heat and the festival at Sandpoint and all the other, you know, vacation type things people prefer to do. But we maintain the front country trails here in Sandpoint. So that includes the trails at the Syringa system, which is now over 16 miles of non-motorized trails, and trails in the Little Sand Creek watershed, which itself has around 13 miles of non-motorized trails. So those are our primary focuses. We also do some informal maintenance on Forest Service trails at places like Gold Hill Trail 3 and Mineral Point. We've done trail work parties up on Trail 120 above Hope and Clark Fork. And we are also expanding our partnership with the Forest Service this year, which I'll be talking about later in the show.
So how did you get involved with trails?
Yeah, so my background is actually in economics. I was an economics educator internationally for 13 years while calling Sandpoint my summer home. And I just so happened to have a little cabin at the top of what we call the Lower Basin Trail in the Little Sand Creek watershed below Schweitzer. And for 13 years, I'd come back and ride that trail right out my front door down to the bottom of Schweitzer Mountain Road, and usually coordinate my rides with grocery store runs when my wife had to run to the grocery store so I could get a free ride back up to the cabin. And in 2015, a new trail showed up right below my house on Schweitzer. And that was the trail that we've actually been working on updating this summer, which was built by Pend Oreille Pedalers. And that's kind of how I learned about POP, was their new trail that they built in the Lower Basin about 8 years ago. I fell in love with that trail. It made me want to move back to Sandpoint. And 2 years after that trail was built, I moved back here full time, started becoming a Pend Oreille Pedalers volunteer, later became a board member. And about 3.5 years ago, we created the position of executive director. And I slid right in there and have left the economics teaching career behind. And I'm now involved with nonprofits in the community, Pend Oreille Pedalers. And I also work for the ski racing program nonprofit up at Schweitzer SARS. And I'm on Sandpoint City Council since then as well. So yeah, my goal coming back 7 years ago was to get hyper involved at the local level, because I'd been teaching overseas for a long time and had not really had the opportunity to get involved in my local community. So I've really made that my focus since moving back here in 2017.
Well, and here you are. We're going to get you behind the microphone from the broadcasting side here too, I know.
I would love that.
Rose, last and certainly not least, and have been on the show several times, even your relatively short stint with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm the Communications and Engagement Manager for Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and I've been in this role since early spring this year. And so this is my first summer moving through the Scotchman season, and it's been great. And I've been in Sandpoint since around 2016, but I'm an Idaho gal, not born, but raised. So I've been involved in trails basically my whole life, but the Scotchmans and the Cabinets are kind of a new direction for me. I've hiked a lot in the Selkirks and around the Coeur d'Alene River and the St. Joe watersheds, even down into the Selway Bitterroot area. So the Cabinets and the Scotchmans, which are in the Cabinets. Yeah, it's been a fun new experience for me to find some new trails.
Thank you. So we're here in the middle of summer. We often do a preseason check on how things are going, what's coming up for the summer, but it seems like with so many activities going on, it would be good to do a mid-season update. So we'll just keep going in this rotation. A few highlights from the summer so far, Tom, and talk to us about what's coming up for ITA.
Sure. excuse me. We're about 60% through that 75 project schedule. Things have been going very well. We had a great early season because the weather was agreeable. We were down in Hell's Canyon doing some fun projects before the high country melted out. And then along came the fire season. And so we've had some impacts from fire. We did a brand new type of project this year. We do lots of one-day projects in the front country to sort of get people hooked. And then we do weekend projects as we get a little further in. And then we do week-longs in the back country. This year, we did a three-week wilderness immersion project out in the Frank Church Wilderness. And the idea was to give people a totally new experience, get out in the wilderness, live out there, and really experience what it's like. And it was, I just came back from that. It was great. Well, we had wolves talking to us, and really, really remote country. The problem was the area we were going to work is one of the few areas in the Frank that has not yet burned, and it's now on fire. And so we had to move out of that area to a little bit different area. Anyway, the schedule's going well. Have lots of people out in the woods. The Forest Service counts hours we work. Excuse me. And I don't even remember the number now. We'll add it up at the end. But I know we've cut out over 6,000 trees so far, and it's been busy. We always have a challenge at this time of the year when it gets hot, it gets smoky, to convince people to come on out and work. And so I encourage people, if they have an opportunity, to look at the schedule, go to the website, Idaho Trails, plural, idahotrailsassociation.org, and look at the schedule. Here in northern Idaho, we have 6 more projects scheduled for the remainder of the year. The good news is the road over to Upper Priest Lake is going to get opened here in about a week, we hope. And so we've got 2 more projects up there that are going to be really fun. One of them is we'll pack all your stuff in about 5 miles and bring a cook and all the food. All you have to do is work, eat, and sleep.
Sounds like fun.
It is.
Yeah. Jason, tell us about some of the highlights so far this season, maybe an anecdote or two.
Sure. I believe the last time I was in here was possibly the day after the city council meeting at which the city of Sandpoint approved the Little Sand Creek Watershed Recreation Plan, which Pop had been involved in for a long time, actually. So that was a really exciting development in the planning aspect of our Front Country Trails. That plan included about 40 miles of proposed trails in the Little Sand Creek Watershed, which, if you're a listener and you don't know where that is, that's basically the area around Schweitzer Mountain Road. So if you've driven up to Schweitzer, there's about 8,000 acres of forested hillside there. About 60% of that land is actually owned by the city of Sandpoint. The rest is owned by Schweitzer itself and the Bureau of Land Management, the State of Idaho, and the Forest Service. So we adopted a trail plan back in, I believe, May, which included proposed trails to expand on the existing 13 miles of trails in that watershed. Most of which are, you know, mountain bike optimized trails, but our plan includes many, many new trails that would be hiker optimized, possibly open for winter backcountry skiers and even Nordic skiing. Is some of the proposed trails are going to be for grooming and winter public operation as well. So since then, we've done a lot of volunteer trail work parties in the lower basin itself. We've built a few new bridges, which is one of our specialties. That's a popular volunteer activity. And our professional contractor has done about 6 weeks of improvements to that very same trail I described that Pop built in 2015 that made me want to move back here. We actually rebuilt that trail this June and reopened that in late June as what I would describe, and mountain bikers would know, as a flow trail. So if you're a mountain biker, you know what a flow trail is. We now have a public flow trail in Sandpoint. Previously, the only one you could ride was at Schweitzer, and it required buying a $50 lift ticket. Now there's a public flow trail, which will continue to be expanded on, and we'll be opening the top third of that trail later this fall once precipitation returns. So one thing I've realized in my 4 years of working for Pend Oreille Pedalers is that there's really 4 seasons in the year. They're not winter, spring, summer, fall. They are winter planning season, spring build season, summer planning season, and fall build season. So trail work really kind of grinds to a halt in the heat of summer. When there's no moisture in the soil, you can't really dig. So we're not doing much trail construction over these hottest weeks of the summer. But we have been very busy with trail planning over the summer. And I mentioned in my intro that we work with the Forest Service. The most exciting development right now in Pend Oreille Pedalers is our renewed partnership with the Forest Service, which we have joined forces with to actually fulfill some of the concepts from our recreation plan on Forest Service property in the Little Sand Creek watershed. So we have actually submitted some grant applications. We've gone before the regional committee that does environmental reviews of proposed projects, and we're starting to make good progress on hopefully moving forward with design and construction of some of the trails on Forest Service property in the Little Sand Creek watershed. So I'd be happy to talk more about that as well. There's some really exciting concepts for not just mountain bike trails, but for some new public front country hiking trail in the Forest Service property. None of it's approved just yet or funded, but we are moving in that direction kind of unexpectedly, actually. We take opportunities as they arise at Pend Oreille Pedalers, and it just so happened that our partners at the Forest Service in the Sandpoint District were very supportive, actually, of working with us to get going on some of those proposed trails on Forest Service property.
We'll come back and talk a little bit about upcoming opportunities like that. Flow trail, for the uninitiated, describe that in a little more detail.
So if you were to go on a backcountry hike in the Frank Church Wilderness, you would not be on a flow trail. You'd probably be on a trail that's, what, 18 inches wide? At the most. Yeah, 18 inches would be pretty wide. Some of the less well-maintained trails might just be 3 to 6 inches wide in the backcountry. And the average gradients on some of those trails are probably upwards of 15 to 20, 25% because they're built for hikers. They go straight up, straight down the mountain in places. You'll see switchbacks, which are, everybody knows what a switchback is, I think, a tight turn that the direction of travel changes to help you get up a hill. Well, a flow trail is built quite differently. A flow trail is on average probably 4 feet wide. It's built with a large excavator. Instead of switchbacks, we have large bermed turns, which you can ride without touching your brakes in many cases. And in between those large berm turns, there might be fun trail features such as tabletop jumps, or on a more advanced trail, you might see what's called a gap jump, which is a jump with a lip, a gap, and then a landing. And the whole purpose of a flow trail is to basically maintain your speed, not have to pedal, not have to touch your brakes, and ride directionally. They're all directional as well. A downhill-only flow trail is, it's kind of the ultimate mountain bike experience that we just haven't really had in the Sandpoint area before. It's not all that Pondere Pedalers is doing. We are also advancing more hiker-friendly trails as well, two-directional trails, uphill-only trails. We're trying to build a trail network that includes experiences for all different types of riders and hikers.
Sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tough act to follow, Rose, but you're going to do it. Tell us what's been going on so far this summer with the Friends of Scotsman Peaks and maybe an anecdote or two.
Sure. And actually, before I get to that, I want to thank Jason for the Nordic skiing plug as well. I didn't mention this in my intro, but I'm also on the board for the Nordic Club, and I work a lot with the Pondere Pedalers as well, helping coach the youth programs with them. So Jason's always looking out for the Nordic skiers in the lower basin as well, which is nice. But yeah, the Friends, so... Sorry, ask the question again. I got sidetracked by Nordic skiing.
Tell us how the season's going so far and if there's been anything interesting to report on, an interesting story.
Yeah. So I think we've got about 10 trail projects under our belt so far and about 7 more to go through our season's end at the start of October. We do a trail project about every weekend, and our trail projects are kind of split the difference between what Pondere Pedalers and Idaho Trail Association does. We are technically backcountry, but we're not flying in on bush planes for weeks at a time. Our trail projects are usually one day on a Saturday and focus on trails in the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, also partnering with the Forest Service because that is all land that's managed by the Forest Service. Yeah, I don't know if I have any good anecdotes right now about trail projects, but it's been a great season so far. And yeah, we're just kind of smack in the middle. We've got a couple fun things coming up, which I know we'll get to in a minute.
Sometimes no news is good. Too much excitement's not a great thing. Having experienced some ourselves recently. So let's shift gears to what's coming up and do kind of a quick rundown of what the projects are that are on the horizon line, what the volunteer opportunities might be, and where you're looking for help in filling volunteers. Again, we'll start with you, Tom.
Okay. Interesting. I'm going to share an anecdote. Go back just a bit, and that is, as I said, we were just in the Frank Church Wilderness in the Chamberlain Basin, and when I was researching, one of the things we try to do when we go in these areas is learn about the history. And some of it's just fascinating. There were really a large number of people that lived in those areas in really remote ranches and farms and raised cattle for miners, all that kind of thing. Back in 1948, the Idaho Department of Fish and Game decided that there were too many beavers in areas around McCall, Idaho, and they were really pestering the local residents. They'd build their beaver dams and it would flood neighborhoods and all that kind of thing. And people were raising heck about that. And so Fish and Game decided they wanted to relocate these beavers back into the Chamberlain Basin where we just worked. And the evidence is amazing. There are beaver ponds all over the place in there. In fact, they flooded a lot of the trails. Then they've had to be relocated. But somebody came up with this innovative idea. So if you Google Beaver Drop, Idaho, you'll read a fascinating story. In 1948, they parachuted 76 beavers into the backcountry in Idaho.
I've seen that video. It's worthwhile.
It is It is a hoot. And the first beaver, they had a test beaver, and they named him Geronimo and sent him in early. Unfortunately, one of the 76 beavers that were parachuted in there figured out how to get out of the box they sent him in and fell to his death. But other than that, everybody made it, and their progeny are now all over the Chamberlain Basin area. So if you like to fish in beaver ponds, that's the place to go. So anyway, I thought that was just a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Operation Beaver Drop. So what's coming up with ITA? We have five more projects on the schedule for the rest of the year. Of course, we'll do one on National Public Lands Day, and that will be the trail up to Chimney Rock, which is always a lot of work because there's lots of alder that grows in there. That's a one-day project. As I mentioned, we're going to have a five-day project up on the Hughes Fork, and then we're going to do another project up on Jackson Creek, both on the other side of Upper Priest Lake. The reason we're working that trail system, it used to be make a beautiful loop, and it goes into the Salmo Priest Wilderness. And this beautiful loop was great for horseback riding and for hiking. And it's been closed for many years because it hasn't been maintained. So we're working with the Washington Trails Association to try to get that thing opened up. One of the things we do in ITA is we focus on maintaining the popular trails, but also trying to get the ones that have been largely unused, get those open to give people more places to go. We're just, some of our areas like the Sawtooths are so overcrowded, we need to give people more choices. So anyway, five projects coming up, and we're also going to have a project down on the Upper St. Joe called the Bean Bacon Loop. That's a week long, and to go in and clear those trails. Not every project we do requires a bush plane. A lot of them are walk-in. A bunch of them are horse and mule teams, pack all the stuff in, that kind of thing. But anyhow, go to the website. You'll see what's coming up. Some of them are one day, and two of them are week-longs.
Sounds fantastic. Oops. Jason, tell us about trail projects coming up.
Yeah, so we did about 16 weekly trail work parties into the spring and through the end of June. We took most of the Thursdays in July off to enjoy the lake and then later on the festival at Sandpoint. But we are back this Thursday, and we will be back most Thursdays for the rest of the season, hoping that precipitation returns and these nice kind of moderate temperatures are maintained as well. So this Thursday, we're going to be in the lower basin of the Little Sand Creek watershed. So if you've driven up Schweitzer, there are four switchbacks on that road up to the roundabout. And we will be meeting at the fourth switchback this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. So this will be one of our efforts to go in and support our professional trail builder who's been working in the lower basin this year. The project we're in the middle of right now is an 85-foot boardwalk structure to mark the top of the new flow trail, because we have to cross a pretty deep ravine. This boardwalk, we've got about half of it complete right now. And I was talking to Rose before the conversation today. We're at a point where we need some equipment that we don't own as a club. So we're looking for volunteers with a front-mounted winch on their truck. This bridge is quite close to the road. So we're looking to tow some 600-pound stringers into place so that we can continue work on this boardwalk. It should only take another 2 weeks or so to get this beautiful boardwalk completed. When I say boardwalk, we use the Forest Service's standard trail plan, actually, for all of the structures that we build. So this is a similar type boardwalk that you might see, you know, high up in the Cabinet or Selkirk Mountains, except it's only about 50 yards from the road. So, you know, we get thousands of people driving up to Schweitzer every year. Most of them wouldn't know that just off the road there are some pretty awesome structures built by local volunteers, and this is one of them. We actually get all of our lumber from Kinnixu Land Trust, Kinnixu Lumber, which has their own mill. So most of the wood we use comes from Pine Street Woods, locally sourced. Very, very fun project. So we'll be working on that the next two Thursdays. And I should give a plug, since I have Rose next to me, for a trail work party coming up on a Saturday. And that's the Sandpoint Nordic Club's Pine Street Woods summer cleanup project. So on Saturday, August 19th, Pondere Pedalers will be supporting the Nordic Club, our cross-country ski friends, on a Pine Street Woods cleanup from 9 to 12 a.m. So if you're a skier, you might join us in Pine Street Woods on Saturday the 19th for a little cleanup of the Nordic trails. And then as September rolls in, Pondere Pedalers will continue our Thursday trail work parties and most likely do a National Public Lands trail work party as well. Because as I mentioned before, we've got some projects going on Forest Service property in the Little Sand Creek watershed. And we're hopeful that by the end of September, we'll have some permissions in place to do some improvements and do some new trail construction on Forest Service property. Again, that's pending Forest Service approval, but we're hopeful that by the late fall, we'll be in a position to get back to work on some Forest Service trails in the Little Sand Creek watershed. So yeah, Thursday trail work parties every Thursday for the rest of the season, 5:30. And information about those you can find on our Instagram and our Facebook, Pondere Pedalers.
How long is the rest of the season?
We go through the end of October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we wrap it up with an end of season party every year, right around Halloween. So the location and exact date of that party hasn't been scheduled yet, but we like to finish off with a big trail work party. We usually attract about 75 people to that last event of the year, along with usually a keg of beer and a good time just to thank all of our great volunteers and to kind of kick off the winter season.
That'll help bring people out.
Yeah.
Rose, you're next. Tell us what's coming up.
Yeah, like I said earlier, we've got about 7 more trail projects coming up through the rest of our season. Also in October is the end of our season. This weekend, Todd Dunfield will be leading a crew up at Goat Mountain. That's this Saturday. And if you haven't hiked Goat Mountain, the name is fitting. But it's a great opportunity to scope out the trail if you've never hiked in that area. It's fairly easy to get to from Sandpoint just outside of Clark Fork. So yeah, trail project up at Goat Mountain this weekend, and next weekend, Sandy Compton will be leading a crew out at Morris Creek. Similar, it's right out of Clark Fork, easy to drive to. The Morris Creek Trail is a little more tame than the Goat Mountain Trail, but yeah, like I said, the trail projects are a great opportunity to just explore new trails in our area that maybe you haven't hiked to before and are a little maybe intimidated or just curious to see what the trails look like. Great resources on these trail projects.
Whole lots of fun and whole lots of activities coming up. We're going to pause and take a music break and come back and look a little bit more forward at special events and other non-trail project related things. If you're just tuning in, this is The Morning Show on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Right now, we're going to hear from a little bit of Walkin' Jim Stoltz. Don't go away. Come on back and hear more about trails. Walkin' Jim Stoltz, back on the trail again. Great soon. I think he would have been riding bikes today if he were still with us. He lived in Bozeman and was quite active with all things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was a ripping mountain biker.
Before we get into what's coming up next, I think it's important to do just a little bit. We talked at the beginning about the forest fires and the impact from those and smoke quality. Just a note to the public, we have entered stage 2 fire restrictions on both the Idaho Panhandle and Kootenai forests, and that means to limit your activities in ways that don't cause the potential for forest fire. You can find out more about stage 2 fire restrictions from Googling that or going to the Forest Service website, but no backcountry fires is essentially what it means, and limitations on the use of equipment and things in the backcountry.
Yeah.
We don't need any more out there. So let's look at what's coming up for non-trail type of events and activities, non-trail projects. There's lots of things to go on with each organization. This is the time of year when we've got a few things in the summer and maybe more in the fall. Tom, let's start with you.
Well, this is where ITA is a bit on the boring side because we don't do a whole lot this time of the year. Beyond trail projects, we have some social functions down in the Boise area where we have a whole lot of members. But up here in the north, generally, we go to the Friends of Scotchman Peak parties to celebrate success. but one thing I will mention, I'll ask your listeners to go to the IdahoTrailsAssociation.org website and click on volunteer. And then go to Trail Reporter. We have a system we've set up that's very helpful to us and to the Forest Service. And that is we ask people to provide information on trails they've hiked. What kind of condition the trail is in? Does it have a lot of trees across? How is the brush? This time of the year, we don't worry too much about snow level, but in the spring we do. But this is very valuable because the Forest Service, by and large, just doesn't have enough people to be out. Remember I said there's 10,000 miles of hiking trails? They don't get out on those trails very often. And so we're asking people that are out there using those trails to file a report, and we keep a tally on those things, so then we know where there are trails that need work. We can report to the Forest Service, and a lot of the Forest Service recreation people go to the site and look at the reports. So that's one thing I'll mention. The other thing is, at the end of the season, we end about the first of October here in the north. We have other projects that go in through November. We do a lot of stuff with the Ridge to Rivers trail system down in Boise, and that goes into December now, actually. But in about the middle of October, we'll have a big party at the end of the year to celebrate all the things that people got done. And we anticipate this year we will probably have over 800 different volunteers who have come out and worked on trails. So you can stay tuned for what's happening there. I want to emphasize something that Phil said just a bit ago, and that is fire. I mentioned that we worked on one of the few areas in the Frank Church Wilderness that hasn't burned. Frank Church Wilderness is 2.2 million acres of public lands, largest contiguous wilderness area in the country in the lower 48. And the area we were working was absolutely beautiful, and it caught on fire. Turns out it was human-caused, and it came from somebody down on the Salmon River, and it's now a huge fire that's burning some of that heretofore pristine area. So please be careful with fire. So we're still, you know, in terms of non-trail things, I'm going to talk again about opportunities to come out and work on trails.
That's fine.
Five more projects. Please come out and help your public trails.
Trails and other trails. Mm-hmm. Jason, tell us what's happening.
We've got a lot of non-trail activities in Pondere Peddlers. As I said, we are the cycling club in town. So in addition to trail work and advocacy and maintenance and trail planning and development, we do weekly cycling activities. So actually tonight there's a 5:30 p.m. group mountain bike ride leaving from the Schweitzer Clock Tower. That's led by our board member, Steve Sanchez, and Schweitzer bike patroller Arlene Cook tends to lead those rides as well. We are doing those every Tuesday at 5:30. There's a group road ride every Saturday leaving from Evans Brothers at 9 a.m. So cycling activities, of course, and we do youth programs. So actually in less than 2 weeks, we start our first week of summer camp. We grab those last 2 weeks of the summer because it seems like all the other camps like to fill up the rest of summer. And we're going to have about 64 local kids participating in our summer mountain biking camp. As Rose mentioned, she's one of our four coaches. I'm going straight to a meeting with our head coach after this. That's a really fun, exciting program. And this year, we're really excited to have 15 kids receiving scholarships to our youth programs, along with brand new mountain bikes. So thanks to Outdoor Experience, Jenny Curto, the owner of Outdoor Experience, hooked us up with 15 really nice Trek mountain bikes, which we are granting to some lucky local youth who might not be able to participate in our mountain biking programs without financial support and without those bikes. So youth programs are a huge part of what we're doing, and those are coming up here in 2 weeks. Did you want to add something, Rose?
I was going to say, don't forget the ladies' ride on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, too. Yeah. We've got a really enthusiastic group of lady mountain bikers. We actually did our first women's clinics last month, which saw, I think, 36 local women do a full day of mountain bike instruction with POP instructors. And every Wednesday, there's a group women's ride, usually out of Pine Street Woods. They sometimes ride in the lower basin. If you're a local woman who wants to join one of those rides, just go to Facebook and look up 7B Betty's. That's the private Facebook group where they coordinate those rides.
You don't have to be a Betty to participate.
Your name does not have to be Betty, but you have to be a Betty that lives in 7B, yes.
And tomorrow's ride is at Pine Tree Woods at 5:30.
Yeah.
And I think Maeve will be leading
the ride led by our great partner at the city, Maeve Nevins-Louder. I want to plug a couple other events coming up and then talk about a project that Pop has been working on. August 26th is the Sled Fest at the Sled Hill in Pine Street Woods. This is the very exciting, we're approaching, I think, the culmination of Kinnickzu Land Trust fundraising efforts to buy the 48-acre Sled Hill property, that Pine Street Sled Hill, which has been behind the locked gate for the last 4 years. Their goal is to have that open for this winter, but they need to achieve this final fundraising push. So August 26th, this is an all-day music festival and party on the Sled Hill property, which for years has not been open to the public. So check out Kinnickzu Land Trust's website, kinnickzu.org, to get tickets for the Sled Fest. Another close partner of Pondre Peddlers and a project we're involved in is the Monarch Grind, which is a gravel race, a gravel bike ride slash race on September 16th. That one's going to start and finish in Clark Fork and go 76 miles up into the Monarch Mountains south of the Clark Fork River there. And the week before that is a movie night at the Panada. The film will be Breaking Away, the 1979 bicycle racing film. And that is actually a fundraiser for the Panada and for Pondre Peddlers. So come join us at the Panada on September. That would be September 8th, I believe, at the Panada. Finally, the project that Pondre Peddlers is working on beyond just, you know, advocacy and construction of new trails is a skills park for kids in Sandpoint. Last January, we proposed a partnership with the city to fundraise for and build a modern mountain bike skills park at Travers Park. So locally, you've probably heard about the Travers Sports Complex improvements that are coming. The city will be building a new tennis and pickleball complex at the site of the at the park next to the current tennis courts. And just north of the existing tennis courts is a little dirt bike track that's been there for at least a decade or so. That is the location that Pondre Peddlers will be building a modern mountain bike skills park. And about 3 weeks ago, we actually placed an order for $50,000 of custom built and fabricated steel and cedar skills features from a company called Progressive Bike Ramps out of Missouri. Those are scheduled to arrive in early October, and we will be installing those sometime in October. And there will be quite a volunteer opportunity around that time because a lot of the preparation work on that half-acre site, including about a 300-foot cedar fence, which we just had all the materials donated for last week, actually, we'll be building that fence to provide a perimeter for kids to ride their bikes safely on some really cool, fun mountain bike skills features that are going to make, you know, mountain biking more accessible than ever to the kids of Sandpoint who may not have a ride up to Pine Street Woods or someone to drive them up to Schweitzer. So that's another big project that we hope to have wrapped up by the middle of October, is Sandpoint's first public bike skills park.
Lots of stuff going on. We'll have to have you back as those projects come closer to culmination to talk a little bit more in detail about them.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Rose, tell us about upcoming events, other volunteer opportunities and activities for the Friends.
Yeah, we actually have probably my favorite volunteer opportunity that is not trail work is our Trail Ambassador Program. And it is still hiking on trails, but you don't have to do manual labor aside from the hike. And the Trail Ambassador Program, so it's on the Scotchman Peak Trail, and we partner with the Forest Service for this program. And the whole premise of it is to remind other hikers and trail users that the mountain goats that live on top of the trail are wild animals. And even though they'd love for you to share your potato chips with them or let you lick your sweat off your leg, they are still wild animals. You should stay away from them. Encourage them to stay away from you because they're not shy and they will approach you. And so our Trail Ambassador Program, it's pretty easy. You sign up for one weekend day to hike the trail. You get a cool Trail Ambassador shirt and a cool Scotchman Peaks hat, maybe some stickers and a map. And you just hike the trail and you're not doing any kind of enforcement. You're, like I said, it's kind of gentle education to other hikers about proper mountain goat wild animal interactions. I know we've all seen people trying to take selfies with wild animals in our national parks, and we don't want to be on those pages. Some other things coming up next weekend, we're partnering actually with Kinnickzu Land Trust as well and a couple other organizations to host the 113th anniversary showing of the Big Burn film showing at the Rex Theater. That's over at Thompson Falls in Montana. And that film is inspired by the Big Burn book. Yeah, I actually haven't seen it, but I've heard that it's pretty good. So if you feel like driving over to Thompson Falls next weekend for a movie at the Rex, that would be a great little day trip.
Yeah, great book, great movie. Probably I haven't seen it, but and a wonderful theater, the Rex. If folks haven't been in it, it'll remind you of a small version of the Panda.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to a quick round robin on National Public Lands Day, an important day usually in the trails world. Fourth Saturday in September coming up again. And talk a little about what each organization is doing to commemorate the day. And Tom.
Okay, well, we're going to go and we're going to cut alder off of the trail going up the east side of Chimney Rock. Excuse me. Beautiful, beautiful area. And if you haven't been up there in the summer when the weather's really warm, there's a feature up there called the Pack River Slides that are really special. And so I'm not going to describe exactly how to get to them. But anyway, we'll go work on that trail. And after we finish cutting the brush out, getting the trail opened up to where it's passable easily, then we'll probably have some celebration right there and enjoy that beautiful scenery in Upper Pack River. That's what we'll be doing in the north for National Public Lands Day. We have, I believe, five other projects throughout the state. And if somebody wants to see a different part of the state on that day, again, they can go to the website and see where we'll be doing other projects on National Public Lands Day. And that's a key thing. People need to understand all of this beautiful land that we have all around us, these beautiful mountains and trails, they belong to us. And so it's up to us to help take care of those things.
Jason, National Public Lands Day.
Yeah, we currently don't have an event on our calendar for that day. It is a great opportunity to do a Saturday trail work party, which we like to do a few times a year. So we will be looking at opportunities, whether that is doing improvements to the Forest Service trails in the Lower Sand Creek, in the Little Sand Creek watershed. If we have the permissions in place by that time, we'll likely do that. That will also be preparing the site for the Skills Park at Traverse Park, which interestingly is also public land, maybe not the Frank Church scale, but a half acre in the city of Sandpoint. So we'll be doing something on that Saturday. Stay tuned, whether that's at a city park or up in the Forest Service property somewhere. We love to recognize that, again, as Tom pointed out, I mean, these trails that we enjoy, the vast majority are on public lands, whether it's city of Sandpoint property, Forest Service property. So we're super lucky to have access, and we'll be looking for an opportunity to host something on that day. And does the Friends do a party on Public Lands Day?
We sure do.
Yeah. So that's my favorite thing is every year I like to join the Friends at their end of day party to celebrate the public lands as well. So tell us about that, Rose.
Yeah. So Public Lands Day, it's September 23rd. We've got a trail project doubleheader. We will be at Morris Creek and Regal Creek, which are both off the Lightning Creek Road out of Clark Fork. I mentioned earlier, those are easy to get to trails. And yeah, we have a little barbecue party at the end of those trail work days. So we'll see you there, Jason.
Love it.
Always lots of fun. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour. Time enough for final thoughts and contact information or resources to find out more. So we'll just keep going, Tom.
Okay, again, Idaho Trails, it's plural, idahotrailsassociation.org. That's the website. You can go there and get lots of information about the organization, and we'd love to have you come out and volunteer.
Yeah, Pondere Peddlers, we're super active on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, and most recently Threads.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's been great.
You're so hip.
Yeah, well, I've got, you know, whatever Instagram provided me with free followers I have on Threads. But it is Pondere Peddlers on all of those platforms. And our website is PondrePeddlers.org. That's where you can join or renew your membership. If you're interested in being a sponsor, come October, we start to renew our sponsorships for the next year. We have over 30 local business sponsors, and we're always looking for more businesses to join our team as supporters. One thing we're looking to do next year is actually hire a trail crew person. I should plug that. If you're somebody with trail work experience and are interested in a seasonal job. It'll be about a 6-month position from mid-April to mid-October next year. And it's we are at the point as an organization where we have supported the construction of over 15 miles of new trail in the last 4 years. So currently, it's all maintained by myself or volunteers. We need a trail crew person. So next year, we are budgeting for and looking to hire a trail care professional. So if you're somebody interested in that, we'll be posting that job later this fall. Contact me and we'll talk more about it. So, oh, and one final plug. We actually have some openings in our summer camp and our fall after school mountain biking program. So if you are a parent who has a child between the age of 7 and 12 who wants to get into mountain biking, we actually have a couple bike scholarships that have come open as well. So there are some opportunities still for a free mountain bike and free tuition to one of our programs. So look at PondrePedalers.org under programs, youth programs, and there are some openings in those programs for this end of summer and later in the fall. We have a 5-week after school program.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Rose, final thoughts, final word from you.
Yeah, well, and also where to find us, ScotchmanPeaks.org. That's our website. You can find our whole calendar of events under the Get Involved tab. That's where you'll see all of our trail projects, all our group hikes. And if you flow to volunteer, that's where you can sign up to be a trail ambassador. And I do have quite a few openings for trail ambassador spots throughout weekends in August and September. So if that sounds interesting, don't hesitate to reach out for more information on that. Also on socials, Instagram, Facebook. We're all over.
What's your Threads?
I haven't taken that deep dive yet. I don't know if we're going there.
Threads. Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to end up this interview. Thank you all for joining us today. Tom Dabrowski from Idaho Trails Association, Jason Walker from Pondere Peddlers, and Rose Olson from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. As always, if you missed any of this or would like to hear it again, it'll be available as a podcast right here at KRFY later on this week. Thank you for joining us. Look forward to hearing from you all or having everyone listen next week.